Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and we are chronically the divides of Western culture. On this program, we like to look at culture because culture is the incarnation of worldviews. If you want to know what people really believe, you have to watch their life, watch their culture, play out their worldviews. Oftentimes, they call themselves Christians, but they're not Christians. They've got a different worldview operating. You gotta watch the culture, and you have to draw the lines between the culture and the worldview that the culture represents. And that's why the Grammys are so important. The 2014 Grammys celebration occurred this last Sunday on January 26, 2014 in Los Angeles. And man, it shocked the pagans as well. I've got some Christians very upset with it, but some of the pagans were sort of shocked by what happened. The Grammys coming of age in 2014, really becoming epistemologically self-conscious. They finally have decided who they are. And that's helpful for the rest of us because I think there have been some Christians who are assuming that it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. But anyway, the 2014 Grammy celebration was a celebration of fornication, twerking, stripping, satanic rituals, topped off with a about 34 neuronic weddings conducted by a lesbian with music provided by Madonna. And so, the homosexuals getting married in the tradition of the Caesar Nero. It was basically a satanic pagan orgy. And they've come a long way, really grown up from 1965. 1965, the song of the year was Jerry Herman's Hello Dolly, performed by Louis Armstrong. Sure, you remember that one, don't you, Wynn? Hello Dolly? Wynn Slow Robbins in studio here with us today. And from the Shepherd Center, some of the guys are joining me on this edition of the program. 1959, the first Grammys Awards celebration occurred in 1959. With the song of the year, The Battle of New Orleans, performed by Johnny Horton. I grew up with that song. That was one of the songs my father let us listen to. That's something of historical roots. And so, you know, my dad said, hey, that's a good song. You guys can hear that song. I raised my kid. My kids know The Battle of New Orleans, written by Jimmy Driftwood. That was the number one song in the nation in 1959. And I'm here to tell you that was not the number one song in the nation in 2014. Not quite. Not quite. Perry Como sang Catch a Falling Star in 1959. I think he was male vocalist of the year. In 1959, the first Grammy Awards celebration, 1959. Now, 2014, we have a whole different deal, and we're going to go over some of that on this edition of the program. You know, I did not see the Grammy Awards celebration. I hope that you men didn't see it either. But I have caught several stories on the Grammy Awards. I think it's somewhat important to know what's happening with the world, because if you send your kids to public schools, if your kids are hanging out with other kids, okay, you probably ought to know about the Grammy Awards celebration of 2014. You probably ought to know what happened. You need to know something about it. If your kids are hanging out with other kids, it's just, I mean, I'm friends, it's the culture. It's the pop culture. The pop culture leads the nation. At least it leads the each successive generation. Apparently, there were a fair number of people that saw this thing, though. 28.5 million people caught the Grammy Awards this year. That's just about a record. I think it's the second highest audience ever to watch the Grammy Awards. And that's even more than those who catch John MacArthur's Grace to You on any given Sunday. I don't think he gets 28.5 million people tuning into him. My point being that the Grammy Awards is more influential in the life of the average person than John MacArthur. That's my point. Okay. All right. So apparently Katy Perry did a satanic performance of Dark Horse. The reason we're following Katy Perry is because she is an archetypal apostate. And we follow apostates because it's important to. I mean, this is what characterizes the nation. And of course, I've written the book on apostasy called Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Katy Perry just 2 months ago came out and said, I'm not a Christian. She wanted to make sure everybody knew I'm not Christian, even though she was raised by Christians in Santa Barbara. Some, I think, charismatic Pentecostal parents, pastors in Santa Barbara Church, she got tired of singing Amazing Grace and began doing what she's doing now with satanic performances at the 2014 Grammy Awards ceremonies. It was a song called Dark Horse. It was complete. She was complete with a Knight Templar cross decked out on her chest. The secular media described it as a satanic ritual and witchcraft. Apparently, Natalie Grant walked out because of some of these performances. Glenn Beck called Katy Perry's performance demonic glorification. Kirk Cameron just yesterday said last night, or Monday, said last night the lines were drawn thick and dark. Now more than ever, we must work together to create the world we want for our children. I'm hoping that just as fireproof restored marriages, mercy rule will strengthen families. Talking about his new movie that's coming out. He said that the Grammy Awards were an all-out assault on the traditional family, and that may have been referring to the lesbian who was leading the 33, 34 Neuronic Weddings and with music provided by Madonna. Well, here's what the Bible says about all of this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay, so how do we interact with this? When you discover that there's people out there glorifying the satanic orgy thing, what do you do? How do you interact with that? Let's say you're sitting around the watering tank at your company, and they're talking about this kind of thing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So if you sense that there is something going awry in culture, it is appropriate to point out that this is sinful, but not to have fellowship or close communion with the unfruitful works of darkness, which means you don't need to go to their websites, you don't have to play the YouTubes, you don't have to replay all of this stuff. You can be aware of what's going on, and you can hopefully use the Word of God to correct these things, and that's what we try to do on this radio program. It's interesting what's happening with the modern apostasy. The modern apostasy is wrapped up in sexual perversion and demonic activity. Friends, I think these things are all wound together. Jesse, Wynn, I think these things are wound together. You can't separate out apostasy from demonic activity and homosexual weddings. If you sign up for homosexual weddings, if there are Christians out there right now signing up for the neuronic agenda, and they're approving of civil unions and this sort of thing, the kinds of things coming out of the world, they have to sign up for apostasy and demonism too. That's the direction they're headed. That's where Katy Perry has to go. As Katy Perry approves of the unfruitful works of darkness, she's going to have to embrace the other works as well. This is what we find in Mark Twain. And Mark Twain's biographies have come out in just the last 4 to 5 years, and that's what I've used in my book, Apostate, on the section on Mark Twain. Very important to know, especially if you're giving your kids or your grandkids Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn or any of the others that Mark Twain has produced. If you have those books in your library, you need to know something about Mark Twain's biography, that he effectively lived the life of Katy Perry. Yes, he started out as a Presbyterian. Yes, he abandoned his faith, and yes, he spent most of Huckleberry Finn attacking and creating caricatures of the Christian faith and the biblical faith. And then by the end of his life, 2 years before he died, he wrote Letters from the Earth, letters directly penned from Satan to the archangels. This man effectively became possessed by Satan himself by the end of his life, and then worked out some of the most demonic, satanic statements anybody has ever written in the history of mankind in a book called Letters from the Earth, which he did not want published. He did not want it published. He told his daughter he didn't want it published. It was not published until 1962, some 40 years after he died. And all of this recorded in my book, Apostate, because you need to know that this is the direction of apostasy. This is how apostates develop themselves in the literary genre and then in the mass pop culture genre, as we're seeing in the life of Katy Perry. Nathaniel Hawthorne, the same kind of deal. Same kind of deal. Didn't have much of a Christian background, something of a Unitarian background, but in the end, he embraced incest, adultery, and witchcraft as he rejected what the Bible and the Puritans had to say about these things. He embraced, because he so hated what the Old Testament said about incest and adultery and witchcraft, he wound up embracing the things the Bible condemned. And that, of course, is why Katy Perry glorifies Satanism and glorifies demonism while at the same time pretending like she's burned at the stake in a satanic ritual at the Grammys. So effectively, she's doing the same thing Nathaniel Hawthorne did when Nathaniel Hawthorne tried to shame what the Bible and the Puritans said about things like witchcraft, at the same time turning around and glorifying the things that the Bible condemns. So the apostasy played out in the life of Nathaniel Hawthorne and Mark Twain, similarly as it's being played out in the life of Katy Perry, even now, even as we speak. Now, in my book, I point out how the philosophers of the 18th and 19th centuries turned into the literary giants of the 19th and 20th centuries, which eventually turned into the mass culture of the 20th and 21st centuries. So you begin with philosophical apostates, and then you move into literary apostates like Mark Twain and Nathaniel Hawthorne, and then you talk Christians into teaching their kids about how wonderful Nathaniel Hawthorne and Mark Twain is, and then finally you get to the 1990s and the 2000s in which people like Katy Perry and Madonna play out the apostasy in the company of tens of millions of people. It's very important that Katy Perry become the Pied Piper. Very important. So you always got to have a Pied Piper. You always got to have a Pied Piper, a leader that will lead 60 million Tina Boppin little girls down the road from Hamlin. And this is the power to deceive the nations. This is the power. They're given the power to deceive the nations. That's how you get 60 million people moving the direction of Katy Perry, and not, they don't move in the direction of John MacArthur, for example. So, friends, we've come a long way from Katie Hudson. Remember the Katie Hudson album? Katie Hudson came out with an album in, what was it, 1998, I believe it was. Katie Hudson, who, by the way, turned into Katy Perry, she started out with an album in which she had a song, and that song was Faith Won't Fail. Well, in her case, it did fail. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find that the term reprobate or apostate means falling short. Faith falls short. Faith fails. So in the case of Katie Hudson, faith failed. Faith fell short. And so it's an irony. It's a huge irony. So what's next for these people? 2 Timothy 3, 8 and 9 again. As Jannes and Jambres and Katy Perry withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. That's the point I was trying to make. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. The point being, this thing's going to burn out. We always wonder what's next. You know, at the point at which you've moved from Hello Dolly in the Battle of New Orleans to Katy Perry doing her satanic human sacrifices on the stage at the Grammys, I'm not sure if she quite did that, but at the point where she's celebrating Satan on the floor of the 2014 Grammys, you know, we've come a ways. So what happens in the year 2027? Well, here's what happens. Their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. They shall proceed no further. So there is an end, friends. There is an end to this. There's an end. It's coming to an end, and I think quickly. Well, culture is important. Why is culture important? Because this is how kids apostatize. This is the road to apostasy. This is how Katy Perry and all of her friends, Katie Hudson, Katy Perry and all her friends, apostatize from faith. They move gradually out of the Christian faith into a secular, demonic approach to things, and they move out of the Christian home. This is how you get from a 55% church attendance ratio for the silent generation to 18% for the millennial generation, down to 4% in the year 2025. And it wouldn't happen without the Beatles. The Beatles had to start in the choir at St. Peter's Anglican Church. They had to. They had to start there, friends. They had to work out the first bars, a whole lot of shaking going on the church piano at St. Peter's Anglican Church. It has to start. Katy Perry, the Beatles, have to start at their little local church. They have to start there. Why? Because it takes apostates to destroy a culture and to undermine a civilization. That's how you get from I want to hold your hand to let's do it in the road by 1968. And by the way, the 2014 Grammys celebrated the Beatles yet again. And I think that's important because the Beatles opened things up for us. That's how we got to the drug culture of the 1969s and 1970s. So, friends, the constant question that comes to mind is this one. Will Christians form their own culture? When will we come out from among them and be separate? I just wonder if Natalie Grant should have walked out earlier. She walked out of the Grammys on Sunday night. She walked out of the Grammys. I wonder if she should have walked out earlier, maybe 3 years ago. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. We have more to talk about when it comes to the influence of culture on our youth. This is Kevin Swanson, the program's Generations.
I'm Abigail, and I want to tell you about a fun contest that Daddy is doing with Generations. It's picture books for little kids. It'd be so nice to see more cute picture books for children, little children ages 2 through 8. We need more fun picture books for little ones that are based on biblical principles. So this is called the Nurture Little Hearts Book Contest. Daddy says he will give a $2,000 prize and 10% royalties to the winner of the contest. All submissions must come in by July 31st. Check out my daddy's blog at generationswithvision.com for more information about this contest.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, talking about the 2014 Grammys. Why? Because this effectively establishes the leadership for the culture in America. You know, culture is one big pyramid. At the very, very top, you've got those who get the awards and make the $40 billion a year. And then on down, you've got some garage bands. And then eventually you make it down to the CCM crowd and others. But ultimately, the movers and shakers at the top are influencing the entire culture and creating the market and the standards by which the rest of the population is led and led by the nose into some of these perversions. And then this is the other side. This is the other religion that preaches its sermons and is probably way, way more influential on the average kid, on the average millennial, than their sixth grade teacher or their 12th grade chemistry teacher who was an evolutionist. I don't think those guys have all that much influence upon the average kid. It's the culture that plays extremely powerfully in the lives and the hearts and minds of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of kids around America and around the world. And the domino effect on so many other cultures around the world is very influential, very, very, very important. All right, so here's a couple of the summaries. Here's some summaries for what happened in the 2014 Grammy Awards ceremonies this year. The album of the year went to Daft Punk for Random Access Memories. And the record of the year was Get Lucky. And I just go to azlyrics.com. Never heard any of these songs. I just go to azlyrics.com. I want to know what the worldview is. I mean, if these guys are the ones influencing the whole world, hundreds of millions of kids, with their ideas, which eventually play out in how they think and how they dress and how they interact with others. If you want to know who the cultural leaders are, then go to the Grammys and find out who won the album of the year and the record of the year. It was Daft Punk. And basically the song Get Lucky is about, getting lucky. It's a guy trying to fornicate all night long. And there's only one lyric, really. We're trying all night to get lucky. We're trying all night to get lucky. It's repeated. I counted 40 times. I kid you not, 40 times. And now, that's not real creative. You know, take one lyric like that and repeat it over and over and over again 40 times in a row. Now, I guess they're just trying to pound it in. If you didn't get it the first time, if you don't understand how important fornication is to the average person today, you know, getting out there, getting on the dance floor and trying to get that fornicating experience done for, paid in full, you know, you got to pound it in. You got to do it 40 times. You got to repeat it again and again and again and again. So this is it. You're there. You're at the very, very, very top of American culture, and it's all about fornication. The song of the year went to, I guess, Lorde. And the song was Royals, and I've never heard this song. I've never heard this person before. It's the theme of the song is effectively this. Life isn't about getting rich. It's all about partying down without a care in the world. It's about being a queen D&D and dominating others. It might have a little bit of a sexual domination theme in it. It's about sex. It's about partying down. It's about partying without a care in the world. So you go to the party, and you don't have a care in the world. You can do whatever you want. And you don't have a care in the world. There is no God. There is no judgment. There is no need for repentance. There is no hellfire forever and ever. There's nothing to worry about. You just get out there, get to your party, and you have a good time. Okay, that's Song of the Year. Now, but I didn't want to stop there. I wanted to go to the Best Country Album of the Year, Kacey Musgraves. Same trailer, different park. Now, this one is I think, the most amazing testimony of American apostasy. I mean, not, this isn't just, you know, Western apostasy. This is the American trailer park apostasy. This is the run of the mill. Forget church, forget God, forget anything that was any kind of heritage, any kind of family heritage. Cast it to the winds. Everything my life is about, all that Christian heritage is for the birds. I'm out of here. Okay, that's Casey Musgraves. It is amazing. The song Merry-Go-Round is about how this woman is tired of going to church. She's tired of her daddy's adultery. Of course, you know, this is the hypocrisy. She's going after the hypocrisy. They love to do this. This is that church in Mississippi. You know, the largest church attendance in America is in the state of Mississippi, which also happens to have the highest porn download rate of the nation. Okay, so this is what she's going after. She knows that whatever she's seen in terms of faith has been nothing but hypocrisy. And her daddy's a big old hypocrite, but they all go to church on Sunday. She's sick and tired of it. She's going for maybe the big city life, the feminist life, the independent life, away from the stupid faith and family. So that's what she's all about. Now, she actually performed a song at the Grammys called Follow Your Arrow, which is even worse. I mean, this is about the worst lyrics you'll ever find, and written by, I'm sure, men influenced by demons, if not possessed by demons. And this is the kind of, these are the kind of lyrics you'll get. This is what you'll hear at the Grammys. This is what wins the Best Country Album Grammy Award in 2014. Make lots of noise, kiss lots of boys, or kiss lots of girls, if that's something you're into. Okay, so again, encouraging lesbianism. Now, country music is encouraging lesbianism. Country music typically about 3 years behind Katy Perry, so just kind of keep that in mind. Country music is popified and tries to keep about 3 years behind Katy Perry. Okay, so in terms of the destruction of Western civilization and the erosion, the total erosion of Western culture. So she's encouraging lesbianism. She's encouraging homosexuality. When the straight and narrow, if that's something you're into, when the straight and narrow gets a little too straight, roll up a joint or don't. So, you know, do a little marijuana. That'll be cool. And I'm sure that's accepted in Denver these days. Just follow your arrow wherever it points. It's sort of like following your heart. You know, it's a little bit of that follow your heart thing you got from Ralph Waldo Emerson, the Transcendentalists. And I treat this philosophy in my book, Apostate, if anybody's interested. If you don't go to church, you'll go to hell. If you're the first one on the front row, you're a self-righteous son of a can't win for losing. You'll just disappoint them just because you can't beat them. You don't mean you should join them. So, in other words, don't go to church. They're a bunch of big, fat hypocrites. Okay, so that's the album of the year for country music in the 2014 Grammys. All right, guys. Again, Wynn and Jesse are here today with us as part of the Shepherd Center. And you guys, Wynn, you've been with me for a number of years. And Jesse, you've been hanging out with us for a shorter time. It's really good to have you here. But, you know, we should tell folks that we don't sit around and watch stupid movies and listen to dumb music in this Shepherd Center. We sing the hymns and the psalms together. We enjoy those things. We worship together. We read the Word of God. We read some really good godly Christian books, and that's really what we do here. But wow. I mean, here we have the corruption of Western culture, and what do you say, guys? I mean, do you think Christians are getting wrapped up in this kind of stuff? Should Natalie Grant have attended the Grammys?
Well, I was going to say while we were off air, we were talking about Natalie Grant, and I grew up listening to a lot of Christian music. And Natalie Grant was always someone that I really looked up to. And granted, she isn't the perfect artist. Nobody is.
I'm thankful she walked out.
But
I'm thankful she walked out. That was a good thing.
I was surprised that she actually did, because she likes to not be controversial. She likes to be, she's very much of a gospel singer. She
evidently, like at some point where, you know, they did the satanic human sacrifice, at some point I think Christians should walk out. What do you think, Jesse? I mean, it's appropriate for Christians to walk out. I mean, you don't really want to be attending a demonic service. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right?
Yes, that's
says, you know what?
If you have some kind
there,
of discernment.
Everybody's eating food offered to idols. Get your rear end out of there. Now that would
here's my objection, just for the sake of argument for people out there. I think I know what in what way you would answer. The objection that I think people would say is, you know, it's all game. It's all pure entertainment. You know, she's getting paid. All those people.
It's just a joke.
Yeah, it's just one big
joke. I was just kidding.
It's nothing serious.
Yeah. I was just kidding.
So what does the Bible have to say against
Proverbs
that?
Proverbs chapter 28 says a man that runs this firebrands around and does evil things and yet turns around and says, I'm just joking, is a fool, is a wicked man. And here's my answer to that. And I know that a lot of people say that. Yeah. I know that a lot of people say, hey, you know I sing about dysfunctionality. I know I whine about Christianity and church and all this. But you know what? I'm still a good guy. I'm still a good guy. But here's the point I think needs to be made on that. People are lying about the fact they're lying. So they're still liars.
Smoke is smoke.
Yeah, they're still liars. You can say, I was lying about my lying. You know, I was lying. Yes, what I said was a lie in those lyrics. But as I was singing those lyrics, I was lying about the lie. Now, this is very postmodern, too, because the postmodern laughs at his own laughing.
So they're a bunch of rich liars.
Seriously. Yeah, right. Exactly. So the whole point is he doesn't take anything seriously. That's what it is to be a postmodern. But the fact remains, you're still a liar. Even if you're lying about your lying, you're still a liar. This is what Jesus says, Revelation 21:7. This is some of the very last red letters, by the way, in the entire word. So from the very last thing Jesus says, in Revelation chapter 21, 22, here's 21:7, he says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Boy, if that doesn't put some fear of God in you.
And that's not a joke. That's not a lie.
You're talking about lying in terms of lying. I think we as Christians, I know young people especially, we like to get into the pop culture and they like to talk about, oh, it's okay to listen to this. It's okay because it's not that bad. You know, and you know, you can find interviews online with these artists who, you know, a lot of country artists who won't cross the line really, but they get close to it, you know, and they'll say, oh, it's just a performance. But my question for anyone who wants to ask that question and say and use that as an excuse is, look at the Grammys. What happened this year, we haven't seen before. I know it's being referred to as the night that changed America. I've heard that batted around a little bit. Beyonce and her husband Jay-Z put on a performance that was so sexually explicit. I don't think there's any possible way you can go about saying, oh, yeah, that was just an act, but I'm not really meaning that.
Yeah.
You can't get around that kind of explicit godlessness.
You can't fake that explicitness, yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. You can't. If you're out there stripping, you're stripping. You're celebrating shame.
And you can't say, oh, it's just the costume or lack thereof. It's your ideology is becoming apparent on the screen and on the stage you are performing.
Well, culture is powerful. It works on you. It really works on you. And I said that, Jesse, you were nodding your head. You grew up with some of this culture, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up in the southern parts of L.A., you know, where culture was scribbled on the wall, where people sold things illegally behind their parents' backs, behind, you know, trying not to get arrested. And a lot of my friends got arrested, and I experienced a couple arrests. So that could definitely
Well, these pop singers are encouraging these kids to do that.
I heard something very interesting from a mouth, from one of their mouths, and this guy's name is Kanye West. And he said something in an interview on the radio in L.A. that I'll never forget that really kind of shocked me. He said that a rap concert is like church because people pay to go there. They raise their hands and they sing what we sing. They sing the lyrics. So, and he said that the singers are the preachers and their lyrics are the sermons. And I could never forget that.
Yeah. And it is. It's just the problem is it's a different religion.
And he nailed it. And he's so bold, and he doesn't even care.
The problem is
but what he said
religion.
Is true. What
it's
he
a religion.
Said is true.
It's a religion about sexual orgies, homosexual marriage, and satanic sacrifices. Evidently, that's what it's all about. It's a different religion. It's not our religion. Well, in application, friends, as we close the program, I want you to think about this. What is music doing to me? What is this music? What is the music you're listening to doing to you? What does it do to your children? This is the most important, I think, the fundamental issue concerning the use of culture, music, movies, anything. I'm ending my book called The Tattoo Jesus on this particular issue. We should make our decisions by way of whether or not it is these cultural emanations are providing any kind of an edification or a value to us. And you have to be discerning, guys, to know what it is doing to you. You have to. And here's one thing I would suggest to you. I would suggest you turn it off for about 4 weeks. If you're getting, say, a little too much culture and you have no idea what it is doing to you, turn it off for 4 weeks and then look back and see what it did to you. That would be my application. You need to know something of what this music is doing to you. I think much media, much of this idea of plugging yourself into the iPods, the earphones, and the internet, it depersonalizes you. It doesn't make you more personable. It doesn't make you more loving. It doesn't establish stronger relationships for you. You become an automaton that can hardly interact with anybody anymore. So watch for the depersonalization that happens in modern electronic media forms and understand what the music forms or the cultural forms are doing to you. That, my friends, is very, very important. The second point is let's create good music. Let's create good culture. Let's create wholesome books. And we should prefer books to media. We should prefer picture books to Walt Disney movies. And that's why we're doing the Nurturing Hearts picture book contest for 2 to 8 year olds, a $2,000 prize. And we want to publish some really neat, exciting picture books. Be sure that you have good character, well-developed characters that little children can relate to. But also, you need to understand that we got to draw God into the metaphysic. God has to be at least in the backdrop. We have to understand there is a God, and we have value, and humans have value because we're made in the image of God. These kinds of things, this worldview needs to be worked into the picture books that we give our kids. And I'm at the point where I just don't want to create more godless books that hardly draw God into any of it, whether it be the Berenstain Bears or Dr. Seuss or Sesame Street books or whatever. There's a lot of books out there, very, very popular, and yes, they do well in developing character, and the pictures are sweet and such. But we need to bring out godly Christian books that bring God back into the metaphysic. And we're doing this Nurturing Hearts picture book contest for little 2 to 8 year olds with a $2,000 prize. More information on my blog. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. And also, if you're interested in understanding how the apostasy has worked its way from the philosophers, from the Nephilim, the big giant philosophers, to the literary giants, down into the cultural Nephilim today, like Katy Perry, and what's happening in country music, you want to understand how this is happening. You want to get your head out of the sand and you want to know how it's happening and how it's affecting our kids and grandkids, get copies of my book, Apostate, at our website, kevinswanson.com. Do remember that we give a 50% break at least for multiple copies of Apostate. You'll find these opportunities at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.